But right now, we are joined by a best-selling author. Titles include The Obstacle is the Way, Conspiracy, and Ego is the Enemy. And he's got a brand new book, Stillness is the Key. This book is out right now. We're going to talk about it. Very good friend of the program, too. Ryan Holiday joins us once again. Ryan, good to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, Ryan. All right, so in many ways, Stillness is the Key might be viewed as the third part of a trilogy on Stoicism, although it's not purely about Stoicism. It's about other schools of thought as well. But for those who do not know, what is Stoicism and how did you first get exposed to it?
So Stoicism is ancient philosophy. It comes to us from Greece and Rome, but it's popular even back then with athletes, with elite soldiers, with politicians, with statesmen. It's a philosophy not sort of for the classroom, but for people who are doing real things in the real world, who have to manage their emotions, who have to deal with stress, who have to rise above pain and hardship and difficulty. So it's this, you know, enduring perennial philosophy that today has this resurgence in a lot of the same domains, you know, including professional sports.
We're talking to Ryan Holiday. Now, The Obstacle is the Way was an enormous hit, especially among the Patriots and the Seahawks. Am I correct in thinking that initially you thought the audience for that book would be in the world of business? And if so, what was your reaction when it started to catch fire in sports?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been absurd to think, hey, this, you know, this book about an obscure school of ancient philosophy is really going to resonate with NFL coaches. But that's exactly what happened, and it's been surreal. And I think what it showed me is, one, I was being a little close-minded, but two, in sports, it's the mental edge, the spiritual edge that people need more than anything else, because so many of the other gains have already been reached. We've sort of, I don't want to say we're at peak physical conditioning, but, you know, you're not going to get 10% stronger than the other team at this point. It's all evenly matched, but you can bounce back from a loss better than other teams. You can manage, you know, the high pressure stakes of a game better than another team. You can deal with bad referees better than another team, you know, on down the line.
Ryan Holiday is joining us. His new book, Stillness is the Key, is out right now. Now, you spoke to the Browns during training camp. You spoke to the coaching staff of the Rams. What was your message to the Browns and to the Rams coaches?
Well, so when I spoke to the Browns, one of the things we were talking about is ego. That's a team that's got all the talent that you need, but how are they going to come together as an organization and as a group? How are they going to deal with all of the expectations that team has after having, you know, such low expectations for so long? And you can see they're sort of running a wild organization there in a good way. It's a sort of a different way of managing a team, but very easily that sort of system can spiral out of control. So we talked about sort of how we manage our emotions, how we focus on the things that matter, how we don't listen to hype, how we don't listen to criticism. You know, in a way, this is standard stuff, but at that level, you know, one little mantra or one little insight can be the difference between, you know, making it all the way or not making it all the way. And I think the Rams are interesting because, you know, how it seems to happen quite often, a team will make it all the way to the Super Bowl and just, you know, sort of just barely not pull it off. And that's almost the last you hear of them. It's sort of the high watermark of a franchise. And so with the Rams, it was like, you know, how do you get back to basics? How do you focus on what matters? How do you not let the near runness of the last year weigh on you, but at the same time, not let the pain and the frustration of that go to waste?
Ryan Holiday is a best-selling author. His new book is Stillness is the Key. It's out right now. In addition to speaking to those teams, Ryan, you spoke at the NFL owners meeting, and you've described looking at that audience, and you see head coaches, and you see the GMs. But then, as you've said, there are 32 team CEOs, and each of them is, quote, their own cartoon version of a billionaire. Lay it out for me. What do you mean by that, and what's it like talking to a room of people like Jerry Jones, Mark Davis, and the rest of that crowd?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, right? It's a minimum of 30 billionaires. But from radically different sort of walks of life, even among billionaires, you've got Jerry Jones on one hand, and you've got families who own teams and it's all they own. And then you've got Stan Kroenke, who the Rams are one of like five teams that he owns. And so, you know, we tend to think that people are all the same, but there's this sort of radical diversity even amongst elite performers. And one of the things I take from that is there's lots of ways to get to where you want to get. You don't have to. It's interesting that I think the instinct a lot of us have when we want to be successful is we sort of model ourselves exactly on one person. And the truth is often you get to extreme success by sort of fully embracing who you are, your own sort of unique way of doing it. This is obviously something I think as an author. You don't write books that sell by mimicking other books. You write books that don't exist, that need to exist. And that was, you know, when you look at someone like Shad Khan and then you compare him to, you know, a more button-down owner of a different team, you're like, oh, these are just people doing their own thing.
We're talking to Ryan Holiday. You know, Ryan, when I think about the athletes I've interviewed over the years, one of the reoccurring themes, and it comes up over and over again, is the athletes who were passed over or doubted or criticized, sure, whether it was colleges recruiting them or maybe the NFL draft or NBA draft or free agency or pretty much anything like that. They use slights as motivation. They run on that kind of fuel. What do you make of that approach?
Well, I think it works in the short term, right? And I've experienced that in my own life. You want to sort of shove it in the face of the people that doubted you. And you know, a great coach like Belichick, it seems like Belichick is always searching for slights, if not outright manufacturing them to keep the team hungry. I think the problem is when we internalize this at a personal level, the Jordan Hall of Fame speech is a great example. Like, here's this guy, the finest moment of his career, he's receiving the best honor of his career, and he like can't stop himself from sort of vomiting out all these grudges he's accumulated over the years. So anger and grudges and resentment, it can be a powerful fuel, but it's also, I would say, very volatile, and I would say it's deeply corrosive. So it tends to eat at the vessel that's containing it. And I'm sure you've seen this in your career. Like, it can work, but the problem is what happens if it gets you where you want to get. Now, all of a sudden, instead of being happy, you're manufacturing new slights to keep going, and you never enjoy where you are. And often you end up undermining the really good thing you have going.
Really interesting. Ryan Holiday is joining us. So then where do you come out when it comes to Nick Saban? As an example, Ryan, one of the stories that we tell ourselves as a society is the story of never, ever be satisfied. And then you've got Nick Saban always complaining that celebrating a national championship gets in the way of recruiting. Is that a good and healthy story for us to be telling ourselves?
Yeah, look, I think it's complicated, and I don't know him super well, so it's always dangerous when you're sort of speculating about people's psychology. I guess the question is, like, is it that he doesn't want to celebrate and he wants to go off and recruit because he feels like the next championship will be the one that matters? Or is it that he genuinely loves the thrill and the chase of the recruiting? Like, I was thinking about Kevin Durant leaving the Warriors. You know, the sort of speculation is he wants to win a championship on his own. If he thinks that, hey, if I win one in New York, it's somehow going to be different and better, and this one will mean something, I think he's going to be sorely disappointed. If he's saying, look, I don't want to just play on a team where a championship is a foregone conclusion, where we're always a contender because we're so overwhelmingly talented. I want to earn it. I want to do it differently. I'm looking forward to the challenge. I think that's a different way to think about it. And so that's the tension. Why you want to keep going and you want to improve, but is it because you're lying to yourself and you're saying it's different this time, or are you doing it because you genuinely, as Saban says, you love the process?
Ryan Holiday has got a brand new book. It's called Stillness is the Key. Ryan, before you go, like, on a really very real level, there are a few things that are going to interfere with stillness more than your phone, your screen time. How do you go about dealing with your phone to make sure that you're not, you know, a monk who's completely cut off from everybody,
sure,
but at the same time, you could still find time for stillness? What kind of rules do you have for that?
I've got an easy one I started doing about 6 months ago. So I don't touch my phone for the first 1 hour that I'm awake. So, and another easy hack related to that is, like, don't sleep with your phone in the room. So you can't check it at night. Give yourself like 8 hours or 7 hours of no phone. But the big one is I don't touch it right when I wake up. So I want to have some level of peace and quiet. I don't want to start the day on my back foot based on whatever happened on Twitter over the, while I was in bed, you know, whatever unsolicited emails or text messages or phone calls I got. I want to start the day where I'm in control. I don't want to start reactive. So that's number one. And look, number two is, like, You've got to remove what social media you can from your phone. You don't need to have all of them on there. You can do some of them on the desktop, like, or you can set it up on a separate phone if you're one of those people that's got multiple phones. Like, I think carrying around access to an unending amount of information and an unending amount of conflict and arguing and status signaling is just a recipe for unhappiness.
Ryan Holiday, my guest. All right, so what about this? What would you say to somebody who is listening right now and says, I'm working all the time. I have to have my phone with me all the time. It is impossible, Ryan, to find stillness.
I don't think that's true, because when you look at, you know, a team in this, when you look at New England being 28-3 in the Super Bowl, what I saw in that fourth quarter was stillness amidst, you know, obviously millions of people watching, hundreds of thousands of people there on the ground, you know, unending pressure, an incredibly difficult task in front of them, people trying to tackle them. You know, what you do is you slow it down, you tune out what doesn't matter, you become fully present, you focus on the task in front of you, and you just sort of check one box off at a time. And look, I'm on tour right now for the book. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to get too concerned about what just happened, not trying to worry about what happens next, trying to tune out the inessential and just, you know, knock it out of the park each, like, individual task I got in front of me.
And then one last thing. One of the things you've talked about is this notion of if-then statements.
If
I do this or get that, then I'll be happy, or my dad will be proud of me. How dangerous are those statements?
Yeah, look, that you can see why that, like, hey, if I just discover this new continent, if I just make $1 billion, if I just, we can see why that's good for the species evolutionarily, but it's not good for the individual human. And like, there's no internal problem will ever be solved with external success, right? If you can't earn these things that you want, you find that sort of quietly sitting with yourself. You find it, you know, reading, or you find it going to church, or you find it going to therapy. Like, no amount of Super Bowl rings, no Supermax contract, you know, no amount of Twitter followers is going to make you feel good inside if you don't already have it, right? And so that's what this work that we're talking about is. And I think ultimately that's why, you know, sports teams are thinking about this stuff too, because they're trying not just to be good on the field or on the court, but you know, sort of holistically as people, because it spills over into the thing they do professionally.
This thinking, these philosophies have been huge in the sporting world. I will tell you this, and I did tell you this already, but I want to reiterate. Before I sent my son to college, he read The Obstacle is the Way, and my son Jake, who was 18, said, Dad, that is the best thing I've ever read. That was the perfect book for me to read at the perfect time, and I sent him to college with that, and it was so good for him. So this is the kind of thinking that can affect so many different people in so many different places. He is a best-selling author. The titles do include The Obstacle is the Way, Conspiracy, Ego is the Enemy, all great reads, and his latest book is Stillness is the Key, which is out right now. Ryan Holiday, my guest. Ryan, great job, and it's always good to have you in the jungle.
Thanks, man.
Great job, Ryan. Really well done. Ryan Holiday.